Hi, this is Andrew Miller from Business Enjoyment, and this is another episode of The Tingle Zone. In this episode, I'm speaking with Jeff Matthews, business coach and mentor, and we have a conversation about what businesses should be thinking about over the weeks, months, even years to come in this new environment. So sit back, relax, see what business tips you can pick out from this podcast, and most of all, enjoy.
Yeah, good morning. My name's Jeff Matthews, for anybody who doesn't know me. I'm 60 years old next year. I know I don't look it. but interesting and varied career, mostly. I left school at 16 and I fell into banking probably by default because in 1977, to work for a bank seemed to be quite credible. when they were popular. And I started out, I was born in Merseyside in Liverpool, and I lived over there for the first 23 years of my life. And then in 1984, I was an adopted Yorkshireman. I moved across the Pennines, my passport was stamped, and I've been in Yorkshire ever since 1984. Worked in banking right through to 2008, most latterly working with businesses. I was the area business manager for Santander, looking after a team of business managers, where our role was really to go out there and support SMEs, predominantly, to go out there and just see what was on their mind, what we could do to help, and be at the coalface. That was what the RM's job was at the time. But I had a bit of an epiphany in 2007, and I wanted to kind of break away and do something for myself. I guess, Andrew, I was like an entrepreneur within a very bureaucratic environment. And I think you know exactly where I'm coming from with your background as well. So I wanted to try something else, and I was in my late 40s, and I'd already started to invest into real estate, into property, buy-to-let properties locally around Yorkshire. So I actually started two property businesses. I developed my buy-to-let portfolio, and I also started a property investment company as well. I sold that latter company 2018. And my buy-to-let portfolio is still going, and I've actually started a property development company now.
Okay.
So we've bought some land down in Chesterfield. I'm in partnership with two brothers down in Sheffield, and our plan is to build 10 four-bedroom homes. My involvement with that was completely hands-off, which means I have time on my hands. So around about 18 months
ago. There's a lot of other people right now. But that's
Yeah. Well, strangely, people have time on their hands now, but I had time on my hands probably 18 months ago because everything I was doing was kind of passive and the businesses were running themselves. And what I decided to do was say, okay, what do I really, really want to do? Where's my passion? The focus was not on how much money I could make anymore. It was all about where's my real passion. And it was all about going back and helping businesses, but in a different way. It wasn't to go out there and sell them banking products. It was to go out and say, okay, if you're running an SME business now, what's your real pain point? What's your issue and challenge today? And with my experience, how can I help you? And it was to go out there and really listen and have meaningful conversations. Because at the moment, I found that a lot of SMEs were just going out and talking to the bank manager, talking to the friends down the pub, just getting on with it and really not getting anywhere. So I decided about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, to be a coach and a mentor. And I decided rather than just go out and fly the flag that I've been in business for 40 years, I started from scratch and did a coaching, an international coaching qualification, which I got last year. I decided to build my business slowly through a strict process, a proven process. And here I am today. I am a coach and a mentor at the age of 59 and loving it, absolutely loving it.
When we're in that space, it sometimes feels like the it's a great place to be because you have that, but you can see the difference and the change happening in front of you, can't you? And it's a great feeling to see.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, you're right. And I think, you know, I know you work with clients on an ongoing basis through your breathing spaces, and the frustration for me is that I compare this, I'm going to use a medical analogy. It's like if you're a doctor or a surgeon, somebody comes in and you fix somebody and you send them off and you never see them again. I felt like banking was almost like that, because although the guys were called relationship managers, effectively the requirement was to go and see the customer once a year. And that to me is not a relationship.
No.
And what I love about coaching and mentoring is that you choose the frequency of how long you are with a client. For me, typically my clients want to see me 3 to 6 weeks, every 3 to 6 weeks. And that feels about right. So you're kind of working with the client on an ongoing basis then, rather than just putting a stick in the ground on the 1st of Jan and seeing how people are. It's completely different.
Yeah, excellent. So the reason for getting you on is just to sort of share ideas and thoughts and things, because we're both talking to business owners at the moment, and there's also a lot of challenges for people going on right now, challenges for the future. And when we caught up the other week, you had a nice sort of 3-stage model, which summed up quite nicely, I thought, which we could use as a structure for a conversation. So do you want to just quickly run us through that, how you perceive things in that?
Yeah. Well, I've got my strong coffee, and I'm always up for a chat when I've got a strong coffee. I think I put something on LinkedIn last night about this, actually. And for me, there's a lot of thinking time and reflecting time at the moment. And one thing I believe that people should be doing at this time is getting a sense of perspective and balance. It's so easy just to look at the media, read social media, and get carried away on the wave of emotion. And I think at the moment that there's this thing that fear breeds imbalance out there. So I kind of stripped it back to, okay, let's almost use the medical analogy again. Let's assume that we're talking here about an SME business, and the people that listen to this may be a sole trader, they may be running a large limited company. It doesn't really matter. But if this patient, your business, is in need of care, the first thing that most businesses are at this point in time is they are fearful. And a lot of these businesses are probably furloughing staff, if they have staff, or they're in financial straits. So using a medical analogy, they may need to go into ICU. They're in intensive care and they need oxygen, or they need a ventilator. So I call that survival mode. You put a patient or a business into ICU or into intensive care, and you've got to make them survive.
Yeah.
So as a business today, it's what can we do as coaches, mentors, what can you do as a business owner to ensure that you survive this? And that's stage one for me.
So do you want to run through all 3 stages? And then
Stage two, once you've stabilized the patients or your business, it's, once you've survived the initial onslaught of financial problems, it's how can you then stabilize your business? How can you stabilize the patient? And that may be some simple processes that you've already been doing. It may be getting back and doing some simple marketing. It may be just talking again to your clients. It may be making sure that you're on a sound financial footing and able to start doing business normally, if there is a new normal. So stage two is stabilize the patient, stabilize your business. Number three is bounce back. Okay. So once you survive the crisis, once you've stabilized your business, how are you going to bounce back? And this is really interesting for me, because I've seen lots of funny stuff on social media about photographs of 2020 year planners. And my wife's got one, and it says 2020, my best year ever. Who knows? 10 weeks later, 8 weeks later, your business was completely different. Your plan was completely different. Everybody was going thinking, okay, how are we going to survive this? How can we stabilize the business? What I want to try and do now is think, how can we actually use that third option, which is, okay, if you've survived all this and you've got things back on an equal footing, how are we going to bounce back? So using a medical analogy is, once the patient is fit enough, how is he going to go into the outside world, and how is he going to rebuild his fitness, his financial fitness, his mental fitness, and go out there and be the new company that you have to be now? Because you and I know that you can't just pick up where we left off 12, 15 weeks ago. Everybody will be doing business differently now.
Yeah.
No matter what happens in the next 4 or 6 weeks.
going to be different processes, different thought patterns. There's going to be different levels of funding. The economy is going to be flatter. It's just good. And we don't know what it's going to be until we get there. And as I say, those 20-year plans, 10-year plans, 5-year, 6-month plans are redundant, and always got to start again in some ways. But the principles stay the same. That's the thing.
And I think one of the words that, you know, I think resilience is thrown around as a word or a term quite a lot at the moment. But I think the word I probably like is elasticity. You know, people have to be flexible in the way they approach business now and the way they engage with the clients. We have to be more realizing of what clients actually want. You know, have they actually got money to spend now on your services? There's some sectors who actually be doing very, very well out of this, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's a thing I like about the model, because people listening to this will be at different stages of that model. There are some people who are busier now than they were before. And they're very much in a different phase. And then we've got other people that are really struggling. So everyone's at a different stage of that. But a nice three steps is a nice good one. We always like the power of three. So if we just go back to run through those in detail. So people you've been speaking to, working to in the fearful stage in intensive care, have you been seeing many people? Have you talked to many people in that space recently, or?
I think in terms of my own clients, I've had, unfortunately, one client whose business has gone down because I won't say too much, obviously, but they were in a sector which was decimated. So in that particular sector, work has just lost overnight. And it was a link to the leisure sector, so you kind of know where I'm going with this one. Yeah. So they had to make a very, very quick decision because 95% of their work in progress had been lost overnight. And it had. It literally, everything was wiped. They had to take a decision, say, okay, we're not going to survive this, but how can we actually turn this process on its head and how can we bounce back? So let's start at the beginning. We've wound up the business sensibly. We have no debts. But how are we then going to go straight to bounce back mode and work backwards from there?
Yeah.
So when we hear about goal planning, start with the end in mind, these are what these guys had to do.
Yeah.
So in terms of, that's the only situation I've seen where it was a critical situation. We had to make a very quick decision. However, I would say that most of my individual clients are probably between survival and stabilize, more into stabilize.
Yeah.
Because luckily, the businesses that are surviving well at the moment are probably the ones that were lean, probably not a lot of debt in the business, and they probably had de-risked the business to an extent that they weren't reliant on one customer, large contracts, good payment terms, or whatever it may be. So I'm finding at the moment that a lot of people are probably jumped straight into the stabilize or rebalance phase, if you know what I mean. Mm. So we have a problem, we have an issue, but how can we reshape the business now to make sure that we can bounce back sensibly? So survival for me, yes, there's a lot of stats out there, and I think a lot of businesses are suffering badly. Political allegiances aside for a moment, but I think the government are trying to do as much as they can. There will be some that fall through the net, unfortunately. Mm. But it'd be nice to see what the net result of all this government help is in 12 months' time. What's the real benefit? And we don't know at the moment.
No, and I think, you know, with the case of this person you mentioned that had to let their company go and then move on, I think there's a real important message in that, because the statistics just talk about a business, and that's just an entity. You know, the individual behind it can still come through this with their entrepreneurial skill and their vision and their values intact. It might just be a different vehicle that they move into. So when we come through this phase and into the next, you know, things start opening up again, the economy is going to be the economy. There's still going to be supply and demand. It's just things, the deck chairs might have moved around on the Titanic a bit. Use the wrong phrase. but you just got to, when the music stops, you've got to just slot into place where it is. And it might be a different entity, but the person behind it can still be doing something.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And luckily, the two guys that I was working with that I just mentioned, they're young. and they've got the rest of their working lives ahead of them. So they can definitely bounce back and reshape what they want to do. And they are doing. They're already on the next project, which is great. And I'm speaking to them at the end of this week just to catch up with them and just help them reshape the new project. So that's really nice. But there will be some people who perhaps have taken a hard punch to the solar plexus and realize at the age of 59, you know, if that happened to me at the age of 59, I might go, do you know what? I'm just going to sit back and take my pension now and keep an eye on my investments. I haven't got the soul to go back in and start a new business now. And I think that's important to realize that if you are going to go back into it, have you actually got the vigor and the strength to do it? But, you know, it depends on where you are individually.
Exactly. That's the thing. If you, if you've got the ability to step back and relax, then that, that may well happen. Some may not have that luxury and need to get into it. So this then becomes a period of survival in the literal sense. Use the support that is out there from government, whatever that looks like, but recharge the batteries and refocus on what could be going forward.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? It's, I've just replied to a post on LinkedIn this morning, and it was asking about thoughts on lockdown, and I actually felt quite guilty. My first sentence was, do you know what? I'm actually enjoying it.
Yeah, I am.
I'm enjoying it because I'm walking the dog longer than I ever would do normally. I'm sitting out in the garden. We're blessed because we've got nice weather at the moment, haven't we? So, you know, we're able to get out. If it was piling down with rain at the moment and then we couldn't get out, then we might have a different mindset. But at the moment, I quite like the lockdown situation because it's making people just pause, reflect, slow down, and allow them mentally to come back stronger. And I hope that happens. I really do. And I think the people that will come back stronger are the people that are using this time effectively. I'm just looking at the what you've got behind you. People who are listening can't see this, but we can see each other. And it's, you know, talking about building your inner confidence and finding your tribe and learning to enjoy life and business. Now is the time to really just focus in on, okay, rather than just do what I do, 9 to 5, 8 to 6, wherever it is, I can actually think what I'm doing. I think where I'm going. And I hope a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, and it's got to be remembered. I've mentioned this a few times in various things, but it's such a weird stage that we're in right now economically because the normal rules don't apply. You know, with the usual money comes in the top and flows through in a certain way can be shifted and changed. Obviously, there's some things that the government's put in place in terms of delaying your mortgages and that sort of thing, and we still want to buy food. But there's also support at the other end. But if there's debts and bills that need to be paid, if I'm in a situation where I can't afford it, I'm having a conversation and saying, well, what are you going to do? In the middle of this, with everything going on, Mr. Water Company, are you actually going to cut me off? Because I'll be telling the, I'll be telling the press, because it's not going to look good for PR front. You know, everything, and it's taken a while for people to catch up with it, but it is just a different situation in terms of it affects everybody all the way down. And which allows that ability, if you put the right things in place, allows you to get that breathing space and that pause to really think about, okay, when things start moving in, what am I going to do?
And you know what? You're right. And now is the time that if you want to talk to a creditor about payment terms, now is the time, you know, whether it's your council tax or whether it's your electricity bill or whether it's anything.
Absolutely.
People are very, very flexible at the moment because they realize, do you know what? This is the rainy day that people have been saving up for. Or people say, you know, you should have 6 months of your salary for a rainy day. This is the rainy day, guys.
I mean, if you're a landlord and you're owed rent, what are you going to do? Say you kick your tenant out. So what? Yeah. You've just got an empty property. No one's moving in.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got somebody who's sat there that says, when this kicks up again, you'll get paid.
Yeah.
Going forwards, and there's no waiting time, then, you know, it's commercial decisions that become more important. It may not be set out in statute, but commercially, people are going to have to make some calls.
And I think the commercial decisions are great, but also I think there's a great opportunity here to show goodwill. And I read something the other week were, I'm lucky, I've got five rental properties and everybody's paying the rent on time and I'm unaffected. Fantastic. However, I read about one landlord who knocked on the door and handed a letter or put it through the letterbox, and it said, as a gesture of goodwill, no matter what your circumstances are, I'm halving your rent for the next 6 months. And these tenants had not asked for a rent reduction. He said, as a gesture of goodwill, I am halving your rent. He wasn't deferring it. He was saying, I'm putting you on half rent for 6 months because times are tough. It's my way of saying thank you to you as a good tenant. And then there's lots of great stories coming out at the moment. And more will emerge as we start to shift the emphasis of the news and the media stories from negative and fear through to, guess what? Here's a phoenix that rose from the ashes. Here's a business that actually did some good. Here's a guy who did some real good. And it's nice to see now. I think the news has started to slowly shift that way, isn't it?
Yes, it does come through. I think, however, there's a responsibility in all of us to keep those good stories going. I suspect that the media will shift back to its normal, focusing on the negative. It always has done, it always will do, I think. So it becomes prevalent on all of us through social media, through our conversations, to keep those good stories going, because actually that's the real message through all of this.
Well, choose your media channels carefully, guys.
So that sort of touched on the fearful side, I think. Moving into stabilize, and okay, so what we touched about, a bit about stabilization anyway, but I assume you're talking about business there. They're actually still trading, still moving, still working, but just making sure that they are de-risking as much as possible. And one eye to the future. What's going on for you in that stabilized section?
Yeah, and it's quite interesting, this, because I had a conversation with a new client of mine only last week, actually. And when I found out what he did, I thought, there's a real demand for this guy's services, surely. And he did continuity planning and disaster planning.
Yeah.
I'm thinking now, okay, as a business person, in the stabilize, there's this middle section that we're talking about. What we're doing at the moment is we're kind of rebalancing our business. And for me personally, as a coach, I've had to change 90% of my business overnight. So I am online more on LinkedIn. Every single meeting now is virtual on Zoom or Skype or whatever, like we are at the moment. So 90% of my business has changed overnight. What I do hasn't changed, but the way I do it has changed. And I'm pretty sure that everybody now in this kind of stabilized bit of the process is doing exactly the same. Certainly everybody I'm talking to is finding new ways and different ways. I'm amazed how many people are doing video now. Lots of people are doing video as a way to engage. So within that middle section of stabilizing the business, it's finding new ways without the cost. You know, we're not saying going out there and spend 10 grand on marketing a new and different way. If you got it, great, but businesses don't. So it's how can you cost effectively reposition your business so you're not losing the core value of what you actually do? And you've heard me talk about this before, and some of you that know me have heard me talk about this before. The three stages to finding a client have always been, for me, is knowing who your ideal client is, knowing how to find them, i.e. network, referral, LinkedIn, or wherever it may be, and what do they want to hear from you? So what are you going to say that makes your ideal client resonate with you? Now, those three processes or those three steps have not changed.
No.
But what's within them has. My ideal client has not changed. Where they are, well, guess what? They're at home at the moment. I know where they are. And what can I say to help them? What do they want to hear from me? Well, guess what? That's also changed.
Yeah.
Because their 3 a.m. pain points on the 1st of Jan are different to the 3 a.m. pain points today. And I think now what I'm realizing is people are restabilizing their business or repositioning their business. What we have to do as business owners is to say, okay, let's just rip up the whole business model in terms of how we're doing it, and perhaps have a complete open mind to doing everything completely differently.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And it will be interesting to see how much of that stays in place as we open up again. I'm speaking to so many more people now that saying, God, all this time I'm saving in not having meetings and not getting to the car and driving 10 miles, 20 miles, 30 miles to have a coffee, and I can just catch up on Zoom. We're done in 30 minutes, move on to the next one.
Yeah, I had a conversation about my daughter. My daughter lives down in Northamptonshire, and she works for a publishing company. And she normally is up at 6:30, out the door at 7:15, and at her office desk for 8:15, 8:30. She said, now I'm working from home, connecting to the servers. What I'm doing is I'm starting work at 7:15, 7:30, because that's my commute time.
Yeah.
What's the payback is I can finish work at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I've started early. I've plowed through everything. I've worked through my lunch. 3 o'clock, I can go and sit in the garden with a cup of tea or whatever it is. And again, that's a great example of people, how they are taking the initiative to reshape the way they're doing business at the moment on a very simple way.
Yeah, I think some of these, certainly larger companies, medium-sized companies, proper teams and that sort of thing, can move more towards a results-based model rather than time in the seat, as it's always been in the past. And it's like, yeah, getting your, if you're getting your work done, doesn't matter how long it takes. If you're doing, you get what you need done and done in a couple of hours, and then you're off walking the dog and enjoying yourself, great, you've got the job done, you know.
Task and finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I was talking to a guy the other week, and this is really, really good. He was running a business, but also was employed by a large PLC. He was earning a decent amount of money, and he was telling me that he could do the job in his PLC job. He could do in 5 hours a week when he gets really focused.
Yeah,
crazy. But I take my hat off, honestly. You find a way of delivering the results, and you and I have been in environments before where if you walk out the door at 5 past 5, it's frowned upon.
It's
in the 90s for me. I saw that when I was working for a building society in head office environment. It's a very competitive, aggressive environment, and yeah, it was horrible. Horrible.
Ironically, the best attitude to hours in my corporate career was when I was actually on some commoners at a bank.
Okay, really?
Yeah. The team I was in, it was, if it got to 5 o'clock or getting five, the bosses would there be saying, "Oi, go home."
Really?
You know?
Well, that's quite refreshing.
Yeah.
And I think there has been a shift in that. I ended up working from home from 1999, 2000, I think it was. So I've always kind of worked from home, stroke in a remote office for the last 20 years. Yes. And I must admit, I'm a morning person. So for me, I like to get 80% of my work done by 2 o'clock. Mm. That's just the way I work, effectively. In fact, yesterday I had an interesting one. Sorry, we're going off beam, but we're chatting, aren't we? We're chatting. I've got a coffee. I had a to-do list yesterday with 8 things on. And by, I think it was 9:30, I ticked off 6 of them.
Nice.
And it was just one of those things that, do you know what, if I was in an office working for somebody, how would that to-do list or the way I approach it change? So what we've done is we found different ways of saying, okay, I'm in a home office environment, I'm talking virtually to my clients, I'm looking to work differently here, how can I make it work for me that's delivering the results?
Mm. And that's it. And, you know, tapping back to your guy who can do a PLC job in 5 hours a week, or whatever it was, you know, obviously he's got a team beneath him, but and not everyone's got a team. But the principles behind it is structure, systems and processes.
Yeah.
And as long as you're, you know, taking this time to put those in place if you don't have them. But if you've got those things in place, then even if you need to outsource some of those things or just give yourself clarity on what you're doing on a day by day basis, makes things move so much flow, and this is a great time to get those things in place if you're not flat out on delivering.
And I do think at the moment that, you know, everybody who's kind of sat at home waiting for the new normal to arrive, is if we are in that stabilized part of the process, now is the time to just step back and say, okay, how can we actually rip up our modus operandi and change it? So, you know, if there's 10 constituent parts to how you did your job, I challenge you to write 10 different things down. Because you may find that you need 7 or 8 of them anyway, from the 1st of May or whenever it is when we're back to normal. It'll be longer than that, won't it? It'll probably be June or July, but whatever it is.
But again, the key word phrase is the new normal, because, you know, I'm not sure whether there's going to be a point where we'll go, it's normal. It'll just be, we'll just evolve, and this is currently the new normal, and tomorrow will be the new normal. Area of concern which I just need to flag up, and this is, I remember doing a presentation on this back in 2012, I think, coming out of the last recession. But it will have a similar situation now. You just got to be very careful when lockdown does end or things get opened up or however it's going to work. But traditionally, you get more insolvencies coming out of a recession than going in. And this is an extreme version here, so it could be a lot faster. But because everything when the doors open again, there's that flood of growth and building business and all that sort of thing. And growth requires funding. Mm. So it's very easy to trip over yourself as things speed up again. So actually, it's being mindful of taking things steady when things speed up.
Which leads us probably nicely onto the third part of the process, the bounce back plan.
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, if your bounce back plan is ultra aggressive and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kill the market because everybody's going to be slow, that's probably an error. It depends what kind of sector you're in, what your business does. But at the moment, I think the people who come out of this stronger will be the people that have started to think about it a month ago, how they're going to bounce back, the people that are financially lean, and the people or the businesses that have kept in touch with the clients as well, say, hey, I'm here at the moment. If you need me, you know where we are. Mm. And I think it's as simple as that, Andrew, really. I think the people that part, the businesses that are going to struggle, the ones that probably had too much debt, they've taken probably too much risk. They may be in unfortunately the wrong sector and overexposed, or the people that just have down tools for 6 weeks and said, you know what, we'll pick up again middle of May and see where we are. It doesn't work like that. The world keeps turning.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, and the principles, it's right. And if you need to just step back, shut your business down and put it to one side for a bit, that's great. But as you're saying, have that mind to how we're going to resurrect it again, because what you don't want is suddenly to have that message on the news saying, right, from tomorrow you can start running your business again, and going, oh, right, what am I going to do? You know, you need to have some sort of plan in place so you can pick up and get running straight away. I mean, I'm thinking of, I always keep talking about I use hairdressers as a great example, because as soon as people are allowed out, one of the first things that most people with hair are going to do is want to get their hair cut.
Sorry, what's a hairdresser?
Yeah, I know you don't know.
Benefit being that's a joke for radio, isn't it?
Yeah. So if I was a hairdresser, I would be creating a virtual starting point and getting my clients booked in now, so that as soon as we got the nod, right, you're the first you were the first person that was lined up when we closed down, you'll be the first person in. So as soon as we get going, you're in 9 o'clock the next day, you're at 11 o'clock the next day, you're at 1 o'clock the next day. You can fill up that order book and have everybody ready, even though you don't know the date yet.
If you had 200 clients, all you do is say, right, the first 100 people go onto a waiting list and you get a free coffee and a cupcake or something.
Yeah.
So what you have is you have a waiting list of 100 clients who are going to spend, what, I don't know how much people spend on haircuts these days, 30 quid, whatever it may be. So you have an order book there of what, £3,000 is that?
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah. And ready to structure it properly, because otherwise you'll just have a queue and a block of people you can't manage.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think at the moment, from what I believe talking to other people, there's a lot of people wanting haircuts at the moment.
That's what I mean. The demand's going to be high. Makeovers and people want to go to the physiotherapist because they'll be sat around for ages and get going to the gym. And, you know, let's not touch pubs. I think quite rightly they're leaving that to the end, they say. otherwise it would just be carnage on the streets if they just opened the pubs for one night.
Yeah, but you're right. You know, what are those businesses doing now, assuming there is a possible reopen or partial reopening in 4 weeks' time? Mm. What's the plan to bounce back? You know, the bounce back plan should not be thought about in 4 weeks' time. It should be thought about 4 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
So if it's not been done yet, there's certainly something people can be doing now, because we're not going to get back to business straight away. As we're recording this, I don't know when this is going to go, but as we're recording this, it seems like we're at least 2 or 3 weeks off any kind of partial relaxation of any lockdown.
And it's got to be a slow release, because it is a 2 week delay between action taken and results coming through. So it's going to be a very slow come out. And then the other thing, and you know, touching and wrapping up all the things you said there, this period of reflection of how we're going to bounce back, and that new way of working, I think we've got to be creating that new norm, that new business structure that can tolerate lockdowns in the future. Because now that the precedent has been set, I can't see how we're not going to have lockdowns on a quite regular basis.
This is interesting. I was on a webinar last night, and we got talking about this a little bit. And it's almost, on the 1st of January, somebody said to us, in 12 weeks' time, we're going to shut down your business. You just have to work from Zoom, Skype, email. And then you have to bounce back and rewrite your business plan. People will go, that's not possible. It ain't going to happen. We've been put in this position where we have to do it.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the story of Roger Bannister running the 4 minute mile. For those of you old enough to remember, in 1952, I think it was, he broke the 4 minute mile. And it was a big thing. Everybody said, you can't break the 4 minute mile. And he did. And the footage is on YouTube. It's very famous in sport. But guess what? Within 12 months, 17 people did it.
Yeah.
So although people were saying, it's impossible, you can't do it, once it'd been done, it was repeated and repeated and repeated. So those people now saying to business people or people thinking for themselves, it's going to be really hard to bounce back. I have to change everything radically. It's a mindset thing, because as long as you've planned it correctly and you've got the right support from people around you within your tribe or your inner circle, then as long as you've planned it correctly with the right mindset and financially you're still quite lean, there's no reason you can't go out there and smash the 4 minute mile and bounce back and do the right things. Yes, things will be different. Of course they'll be different, but they might even be better as well.
Yeah, and this is it. There's no... These phrases of good, bad, better, worse, they're all relative. And I say, if you go in with the right mindset, there is no judgment attached to them. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And difference
is...
You know, so if you take it with the right attitude, you just, as you said, it's about flexibility and changing and adapting, and you adjust to whatever the environment is. But bottom line is, people still need solutions to problems.
We have a bit of banter in our family, because I'm originally from Liverpool and my wife's from Yorkshire, so sometimes there's a clash of culture stroke humour.
You got married. I'm trying to work out how they let you through.
Right. No. Well, anyway, it's a long story. But anyway, we have this joke in our house because we got five kids between us, and they're all from Yorkshire, born in Yorkshire. And I'm the only non-Yorkshireman by birth. And I have this phrase I always throw out. I know what I like and I like what I know. And that has got to change now, because... it's a source of mirth and entertainment in our house, I tell you, because I regularly throw that one out as a little jibe.
Yeah,
it's funny, but never as a true word being spoken, because an established business going for 30, 40 years doing okay or being successful have probably built it on sound, solid processes, as you say, and all of a sudden those systems and processes do have to change. Which goes back to that word we said before, elasticity. You know, how can we now change what we've done in the past, which was successful, and reformat and reshape our business so we are going to bounce back and be as strong, if not stronger, going forward, and enjoy it.
Absolutely. That's the critical thing.
Exactly. We've got to have our bits tingling, haven't we, Andrew?
So brilliant. Is there any sort of final wrap-up word or viewpoints you'd like to get across, any key things to get people to make sure they've got from this Thank you, Mr.
I think one thing I really want to say is that, in all seriousness, you know, we've kind of joked around a little bit today, but we've tried to put across a serious message. And we mentioned before about there's a lot of fear out there, and that's perfectly understandable. And I would say to people who are fearful at the moment is to do two things. One is to reach out and get help from the person that you seem to be most appropriate, whether it's from networking, from your friends, from people like me and you, Andrew, from what we do. But I would always draw it back to these two words, perspective and balance. Because if we understand, if we had a crystal ball and said, okay, how's it going to be in 6 months' time? My balanced view and my perspective is that, guess what? It's going to be okay, because yes, we'll lose some soldiers along the way, but we'll win the battle, we'll get through it, and people will just have to work in a different environment, in a different way. But as long as we know how to get through those three steps, you know, how can we survive this? How can we stabilize our business? And how are we going to bounce back with a new attitude or a different attitude and with a different way of doing business? Then things should be okay. That's my view, is getting a sense of perspective and balance on everything, really.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I always remember, I think it was coming out the last recession, but someone doing a talk, and basically said, you've got to remember your ancestors, you know, you're the product of a family tree that survived the First World War, survived the Spanish flu, survived the Black Death of the 14th, 13th century, which wiped out 50% of the world's population. We're the product of all the people who survived all of that. We survived in the past, we can survive stuff in again. It's just...
Well, absolutely. And again, you just reminded me of probably one of the most important books I've read in the last 12 months, and it's Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. So if you've not read it, that will give you the ultimate experience of man's search for survival in extreme. I won't put any spoilers out there, but honestly, if you're talking about surviving, sitting at home on a sofa watching Netflix and working remotely, read Viktor Frankl's book Man's Search for Meaning, and that will really put you in a position of somebody overcoming adversity.
People that know me say that's the book I recommend, and I think it should be mandatory at school, and everyone should read it once a year.
And it's a short book. It's no more than 180, 200 pages, so it's quite a... I won't say it's an easy read. It's not an easy read in that sense, but certainly it's a great read for bringing you back to how you should be thinking about life generally, and where you should be going, and how to overcome issues and problems like we are facing today.
And when you talk about perspective being one of those key things, that's one thing that really helps bring you back to the real world and make you realize how fortunate we are.
Yeah.
And how much we've got under our control, which is the luxury that we have of being here. It might seem desperate, it might seem difficult, it might feel challenging, but ultimately there's so much that we can take responsibility for in terms of our own lives. So let's make it a good one.
Yep.
Totally agree. Thank you very much, Jeff. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best place for?
Two ways, predominantly. Find me on LinkedIn, Jeff Matthews, J-E-F-F, and two T's in Matthews. So you'll find me on there. Or my website is jeffmatthewscoaching.com. You can reach out through chat or by email through to me. And I'm Yorkshire-based. And sometimes if you just want to reach out, all I ask for is we have a coffee. That's it.
Even if that's on the other side of a computer screen at the moment.
But... virtually at the moment, of course, yeah. Yeah.
Bring your own coffee.
Bring your own coffee.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jeff. That's been really useful. Some great tips there for people just to start think and reflect about. And just remember the path is there for us to create.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed that, Andrew. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Cheers.
These podcasts are not necessarily here to give you all the answers. I want you to think about what's been said, what's come up, and how you might apply that to your own situation. And if you've enjoyed it, then please subscribe to the podcast and, of course, share it on the social media platforms, and so more people get a chance to hear what's going on. Thanks very much for listening. My name's Andrew Miller from Business Enjoyment, and I want you to enjoy your business so much it makes your bits tingle.